Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning again. It's good seeing a couple of baptisms. It's just great to see children or adults, anyone coming to publicly profess what Christ has done in their lives. Just always great to celebrate that as a church. Maybe we, and I say this often, and I mean to say it intentionally, may we never just be nonchalant about that. Oh, no, it's not, okay, someone else with it. Not at all. Like, heaven celebrates. Like, I'm going to share a scripture this morning. They celebrate, they throw a party when someone receives Christ. It's so great. And so we want to always do that as a church and as followers of Christ, is celebrating what God has done in someone's life as they publicly profess that to their family, their friends, and the church. And so I want to welcome you to the River. If I don't know you, my name is Caleb. I'm the pastor here. For the next few minutes, we are going to be in the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 23. I had a interesting and fun conversation this week with some of the other location pastors. I asked, do you reference it as Psalms or Psalm? And so you're like, what does that mean? Well, I grew up in Michigan. It was always Kroger's, Kmart's. There was always an S. I don't know why we always add an S, but that is, if you are an S adder, you grew up in Michigan. Everyone that didn't grow up in Michigan is like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, maybe you are adopted, and next time you drive by, if you call it Kroger's, you win. So, all right. Like, it's funny. I said, I'm not sure. Like, I probably will mix it in. Well, we're in Psalms 23. Well, I guess it's the collection of Psalms or Psalm. And so we are a couple weeks into a series, really a series we'll take from now till end of July, early August, as we highlight several themes of the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms or 150 chapters to the book of Psalms. So we will not go through every single one. If you've noticed, we started in 1 and then jumped into 22, and then we're now into 23. And so you're like, wow, you guys are jumping around. Yes, we are, but we are walking through hopefully with some similar themes as we are trying to trend and teach them. We also, I know many of you have purchased the book that we have kind of adopted. It's not ours. We didn't create it, but a ministry created Praying Through the Psalms. It's a great, great book for you as your family or you individually, devotionally, to examine the Psalms. Psalm 1 challenges us to meditate on the Word, meditate day and night. And for us as followers of Christ, us as Christians, us as the church, that is a tool to help you and I meditate on the Scriptures, specifically at meditating on the Psalms. And so there's a daily kind of walk through what that and how that reference works. This morning we're going to be in Psalms 23. And so I wanted to show you this. You probably can't see it, but my Bible, this section of Scripture, the pages are all messed up. I use Psalms 23 in just about every funeral I do. And so anytime it rains, my pages get wet in my Bible. And so that's, it is an automatic tab that I'll forever be able to turn to Psalm 22 and Psalm 23, that section, because these pages are there. And so I didn't even have to have my setup. I was just flipped there. But excited to be able to teach and talk through Psalm 23 this morning. It's one of my favorite psalms. You kind of tie in the lamenting the struggles of life while also recognizing who God is and is your trust and your reliance on him. That's a battle, and that we all battle with and struggle. Yes, I believe God, you are good. I believe you're leading and guide me. Yet there are difficulties in life. I do want to highlight that this morning. You are not odd or weird having difficulties in life. You just fit in with the rest of us. All right? You're like, I never have difficulties. I never have struggles. I never have things that I battle through interior and emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. Guess what? Can I talk to you afterwards? Because I'd like to hear what's going on in your life and hear a secret of how to get there. All right? But for the rest of us that do struggle with this thing called sin and the battles of life, that's Psalm 23 is such a great, and I'll use this word, anthem for us to really keep our minds fixed and focused on. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, called Psalm 23 the Pearl of Psalms. Psalm 23 was written by King David. David grew up as a shepherd, and we'll get that reference and that metaphor used by him, but he draws in some of the struggles, but also his history of what that looks like. But he does portray God as a shepherd, providing protection, sustenance, and rest to his people. Hopefully that piques your interest there. Those descriptions, I would say, for us as human beings, the idea of feeling protected or getting protection from God, sustenance, fulfillment, and ultimately finding rest. I felt like rest is a fleeting topic for us in our culture. We love to be busy. We love to always run 100 miles an hour and just always in a hurry to get things done. The reality is finding rest in something is a lot of what David here in Psalm 23 describes. As I mentioned, David was a former shepherd. He uses this metaphor, knows it very, very well. You and I, we don't have a lot of shepherds in our area. They do exist. But I can say I've never done any shepherding. I was a youth pastor for a couple years, and that's probably as close as I can get to shepherding, okay? I was talking to Josh about on all-nighter, and I feel like that's a lot of shepherding for about 8 to 12 straight hours, and that is exhausting, all right? That's the best connection I can give you. In this culture that David is writing, this was a common and understood occupation. They understood the goods, the bads, the uglies, the struggles of that. But David is writing as he's described as the shepherd or king of Israel or God's people in this understanding for us. David is identifying, yes, I may be the shepherd or I may be the leader of this, but I have one that I report to, or I have one that my allegiance is, or I have one that guides and shepherds me. So let's look at Psalm 23. I'll read it, and then we'll jump into that passage this morning. Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen." God, we come to you this morning. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word. God, we are so in love with your word as you have given us a sneak peek of who you are, God. God, we are just looking at your living and active word, God, and just asking that you teach through it, guide us through it, correct us, God. As I preach and proclaim your word, may I get out of the way and may your Holy Spirit work in our lives, God. God, thank you for the truths of Psalm 23. May we rely on them. May we even sing them out in moments. The moments that we don't feel like it, the moments that we don't understand, the moments that we aren't sure. God, may we trust and rely on your protection, your guiding hand in our life. We praise you, we love you, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So in verse 1, David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want to pause there because I could have preached an entirety of a message just simply on that phrase. Maybe we'll get to the rest of the chapter, but I love that phrase. It's important. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a declaration statement. That's a clarifying statement. That's an identifying statement. But it's more than just simply saying the Lord is a shepherd. Okay? Because we can say, yeah, the Lord is a shepherd. No, the Lord is my shepherd. That's an identifying, clarifying, covenant, personal statement where David is personalizing his relationship with God. God, I am following under your leading, guiding hand. Every single day, God, you are my shepherd. It echoes the words that Jesus teaches to the disciples of how to pray, right? Lord, give me this day my daily bread. God, let your kingdom come, not my will be done on earth, but as it is in heaven, right? That ultimately is what is being said and declared this moment. God, you are my shepherd. I'll say this and tying a couple things in the gathering together. Those being baptized are saying, God, you are my shepherd. You are my guide. You are my king. You are my leader. And I proclaim that to the world. That's what David here is doing. And it's important that he doesn't use the word is. He uses the word my. It's possessive. God, you're mine. Jesus describes himself in John chapter 10 as the good shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A good shepherd is concerned for the well-being and the welfare of his sheep. But let's talk not only about the shepherd, but let's talk about the sheep. You and I, as children of God, as followers of God, have been described as sheep. I confessed this earlier. I don't know a lot about sheep. All right, never sheared any. I have chased some down before, but that's a different story for a different time. And maybe you have, you've got some sheep, and the only wool I'm getting is in my shoes, most likely, right? But that's for you and I, understanding what sheep are. Yet we're used as this illustration, or we're used as this common language that the Lord is our shepherd, we're his sheep, we're to follow him. John chapter 10, you can read the entirety of that chapter. I'd encourage you this afternoon, or maybe over a cup of coffee later this week, sit down in your reflective time to look and examine what is described here in John 10. But in John 10 verse 4, the sheep follows him, the good shepherd, for they know his voice. In verse 27 of the same chapter, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. What's being described here as the good shepherd? We follow God's leading, God's voice, God's direction. I'll say this, if you're ever wondering, okay, I'm trying to hear and understand the voice of God, the first place to start is the word of God. He's given us that. God, I'm looking for your leading, guiding hand in this area. Start in his word. I'm making a decision. God, start in his word. All those are so important and imperative for us as we study scriptures. God, I want you to be my shepherd. He's given us the living, active word of God. Open it, study it, examine it, see how it leads you and I. But Jesus is also making the sheep possessive as well. I love this relationship being drawn here, not only in Psalm 23, but in John chapter 10. It's possessive. God, you are my shepherd and I am your sheep. I hear your voice. I know your voice. I know your guiding hand. As a follower of God, you've been given the Holy Spirit to live in you, to dwell in you, to guide, to correct you. That's the truth of the scriptures. And for you and I, hearing that voice, that leading of God is sometimes easy and sometimes difficult. But we must come to the conclusion of saying, God, you are my lead, you are my guide, you are my shepherd. It's important that we look at that. Philip Keller has a book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. He says, to think that God in Christ is deeply concerned about me as a particular person immediately gives me great purpose an enormous meaning to put my short struggle upon this planet. Gives meaning, reality. And for you and I, this relationship is being drawn. God, you are my shepherd. I am your sheep. I'll follow you. You guide, you lead. It's an allegiance statement. But let's keep going at the rest of verse 1. Let's look at verse 1 through 3. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's a lot in this, a lot of he statements. The shepherd statements. He does this. Those are not accidental. Those are again identifying and clarifying statements. God, you are my shepherd and I follow your leading. He does these. These are great reminders, not only for David, but for you and I. See, he leads the green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores. He leads me in paths of righteousness. At the beginning, he says, I shall not want. This statement is not a statement of prosperity or God giving me everything that I desire, but a realizing of God's provision and protection and God providing sustenance for my needs. Philippians 4, Paul says, and God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. David continues, he makes me lie down. As I mentioned earlier, and I keep mentioning, I'm not a shepherd or sheep expert, but he makes me lie down is a large feat. Getting a sheep to lie down is difficult. They're not just going to obey and do that. There's certain circumstances. They need to be free of fear. I found this one funny. Flies. And they need to know there's food there. That's sustenance. And then they will lie down. I thought that was interesting for us as now putting ourselves as sheep. As we're free of fear. God, I know this is a safe space. I know you're in control. Flies, the annoyance. They're not going to sit down if a fly is bothering them. No, I'm going to put you in a right spot. And oh, there's food. Well, God is going to lead and guide you to that. See, these he statements are here on purpose as structures, as identifiers, as clarifying statements for us to understand who the shepherd truly is. Practically. Not just superficially, but let's look practically as he leads me to green pastures, the food that I need, not only that literal food, but let's talk about spiritual food, to being fed, the words, the truth being given. He's guiding me where I need to go. See, these green pastures were rare. They were a seasonal rarity, meaning the shepherds as walking through the hills of Bethlehem were trying to find where they could lead their sheep. And many times they would travel them hundreds and hundreds of miles to what? To find sustenance and food. Yeah, that travel was difficult as they took whether it was 10 or 100 or 1,000 sheep across these hills, realizing there's danger. There's places that people trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Sound familiar? But that's what's happening here. And these sheep are these shepherds are trying to find the place for sustenance. And in our spiritual walk, we could say, God, you're leading me to green pastures. Yeah, I may not know where we're going. I don't know where the destination is. Could you at least give me a GPS coordinates and that will make me feel better? That's just me. That's not you. Okay, all right, I'm good with that. That's hard. God, I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you. You're my shepherd and I will follow you. I hear your voice. Through all the noise and the chaos of this life, I can hear your voice guiding me to right where I need to be. Yeah, it may not feel like I want to go, but God, I know that you're leading and guiding. He says he leads them to the waters. It echoes the words of Jesus in John 4 as he's talking to the woman at the well. Drink of me and you'll never thirst again. But then he says he restores. This is a sense of bringing back. Sheep are prone to wander. 1 Peter verse 2, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseers of your soul. That restores implies that we were once in relationship with God and have wandered away. The beauty of that is God's grace and his patience with each and every one of us. We are prone to wander. We are prone to jump back in the mud and the dirt. I don't know if you've seen the video online. I watched it a couple times even this morning. There's a video, I'm not even sure which country it's from, but there's a shepherd down in this little ditch, and he's trying to pull a sheep out of her, a little lamb. The sheep is so stuck in this mud and ditch. He's down in there, he's got a leg in there, and he's yanking on this sheep to get it out, and finally gets it out. And the shepherd now steps away, and he literally watches the sheep bounce, jump three times, and dive right back into the ditch. I go, what a great description of my life. Like, yeah, like, God, you pulled me out of this, you saved me. Hey, that looks good, I'm gonna dive back in. The imagery is so real. But I love the patience and the grace and the mercy of God. Yeah, and I don't mean to offend you. I'm not even saying it to you. I'm a stupid sheep that I keep jumping back into the ditch. And the shepherd goes, no, no, I got you. I love you. I care for you. And that's the beauty of the shepherd. That's why he's the good shepherd. This love and his care for us. Those he statements are important. And I'll say this to you. In a practical manner, as you make that declaration statement, God, you are my shepherd. I need to remind myself of the things that you do, God. I need to remind myself, because there's days I forget. There's days I don't remember. There's days that I just get so confused or angry or frustrated or just don't like. And then I find myself going, God, no, no, no. You're leading me to green pastures. You're giving me the sustenance I need today, God. May I drink of you, God. You're restoring my soul. God, when I don't deserve it, I get just so far away from you, yet you've called me to love me and care for me. That care of the shepherd is so evident. Verse 4 is, I wouldn't say hotly debated, but it's probably the most debated scripture in this passage. Is it describing true death, or is it describing just the ups and downs of life? And I'll say, as I said last week in a debate, yes, it's both. Both and. See, verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I heard a pastor one time say this. As a follower of God, you're either on the mountaintop or in the valley or somewhere in between. That's the track, that's the trend of our life. You're always in one of those. And I'm not sure I liked it when he said it. Really? Well, no, I tend to be argumentative, so anytime someone says, well, let's really examine that truth, but it's true. And the ups and downs of life. But in verse 4, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For us as followers of God, as Christians, as the church, and our families, we must come to the truth that we must trust the shepherd. When we face not only death, but the valleys of this life, God, I trust you. And I don't have to fear. Even though I begin to question, just as we talked about last week in Psalm 22, God, are you in control? Are you listening to me? Are you paying attention? Are you absent? Or do I say all the time, God, are you sure you're the shepherd? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're doing? Is evil going to harm me, or is evil going to win? But verse 4 says, I will fear no evil. Why? If you're an underliner or you're a highlighter in a Bible, this is the thing you should highlight or underline. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There it is. There's the truth. I'm struggling. I'm wondering what's happening in the life. I'm battling. All these things are happening. I can come to that truth and that solace. God, you are with me. You haven't left me. You haven't abandoned me. You haven't discarded me. You've not forgotten me. God, I can stand on that truth that no matter what mountaintop or valley or on the travels in between, God, you are with me. Man, that truth is so important for us to understand. Because you can feel that truth into any battle you go through in this life. But I can say this, you can also feel that truth into eternity. I read a commentator this week describing this as true death. It is the description that he gives is as we head toward the valley or we head towards death, we can find solace knowing that Jesus is walking us through it. And the beauty of the Bible is as a child of God, if you've confessed with your mouth, as we talked about, even just as the gospel, the good news in baptism, I've repented of my sins. I've confessed that I'm a sinner and I realize my need for Christ, that he came and he died on a cross and rose again. That's the gospel. That's the truth. That's the good news. I'm now a child of God. And so as I shut my eyes or take my final breath on this earth, I know as I shut my eyes, the next thing I will see is the very face of God. That's the truth that we can cling to, and that's the removal of the sting of death, and that's the hope that we can battle through in these difficult moments that you and I deal with when it comes to death. That I don't have to fear. I read a story of a woman this week. She was on her deathbed. An older woman, and her children and grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, were in the hospital room. They're saying their final goodbyes, and they were crying, and they looked at grandma and mom and said, "You're not crying." "No, I'm not." "You want us to play a hymn or some of your favorite songs?" She said, "Don't do that." One of her sons said, Why? "It won't pale in comparison to the song I'm getting ready to hear in just a few hours. As soon as I no longer hear this broken structure of sin, I will be able to see and look at the very face of God. I'll begin to hear the angels and all the saints before praising the Lamb of God that was slain so that you and I could be saved. And he's sitting on his throne as Revelation describes, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's the beauty of the valley of the shadow of death. Whether it describes the difficulties of this world or it describes the difficulties of death, we don't have to fear as children of God because he is with us. That's the hope that we can cling to. But then he doesn't stop there. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." A rod and the staff are two weapons of defense and correction that a shepherd always carries. The rod is a weapon or a club to fight off wild animals. And the staff is one to direct and guide the direction of the sheep. As I was reading this, I was thinking, sometimes I need the club too, all right? That was stupid, but that's what I was thinking. I'm like, yep, yeah, I probably need both. Thanks, shepherd. That rod represents God's constant vigilance and care over his sheep. That he guides and comforts, protects, even corrects. That's hearing the voice of God is so important. Let's finish out the chapter. Verses 5 and 6, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This table or meal is an identifying statement, just as the Lord is my shepherd. Meaning I'm in relationship or I'm in covenant agreement with God. Some would even describe it as the white throne, or excuse me, the celebration in Revelation. As they gather for a feast. They gather for this feast, and it's described in Revelation. Some would even use that. But what we can all agree on, it is, I am in the very presence, connection, relationship with God. Those are the my statements. The Lord is my shepherd. And God, I will sit at a table with you. I've been invited to the table because I'm a child of God, because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then it describes what the meal as a guest enters, their head is anointed. That the host of the party, the host of the meal, anoints the head. It's a sign of honor, a sign of blessing. But then David said, my cup overflows. This is the very blessings or fulfillment of God. Where Jesus describes he came to give us life abundantly. True fulfillment. My cup overflows. And then I love the next phrase. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The best description I have for that is the goodness and mercy only comes from God, and his hand is a part of everything that I do. That's the providence of God, if you look that word up. God, I want your guiding hand in my life. I want goodness and mercy to follow me all of my days. God, I want your goodness. I'm thankful for your mercy. And we sing about those, but in that valley, it's a good reminder that your mercy will follow me. And then he makes a statement, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a good psalm. It's not super long, it's simple, succinct, and clear. But Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 15 that I think gives Psalm 23 even some more meaning as we understand Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus is telling a parable, a simple story. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds him? And when he has found him, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Jesus is telling this parable and simple story, but I want you to see the imagery being used. Jesus is the good shepherd. We're the sheep, prone to wander. Prone to run away. Prone to not listen. Prone to do things how we want to do. Prone to be distracted. Prone to doubt. Prone to run to another shepherd. I love the imagery here is because I've been the one. I've been the one to wander away. Wander in my own understanding, wander in my own thoughts, wander in what I want to do. And the beauty of this is the good shepherd, he goes, you know what? I'm going to come find you. I'm going to come find you. That ditch and the mud and the dirt and the sin of this world, I'm going to come find you and I'm going to place you on my shoulders. That imagery is overwhelming. Hopefully you'll feel overwhelmed by that, not by my words, but that imagery as a child of God, I begin to see Jesus placing us on his shoulders. That's what he did on the cross. And carrying us back home and saying, hey, here's safety, here's sustenance, here's the greener pastures, here's where I placed you. And not only there, he goes, hey, I'm going to tell everybody you're now back home. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the wanderer. You wandered in this morning or clicked on an online link. Beauty of it is the shepherd is calling for you. In the storm, in the valley, it doesn't matter how far you went, how much mud you got covered in. He desires that. The good shepherd. You may be sitting here today saying, man, I've wandered far away. The good news is the shepherd is saying, hey, hear my voice. Here's safety. Here's sustenance. Here's protection. My guiding hand, I want to place you on my shoulders and take you back home. That's the beauty of Psalm 23 as the good shepherd. It's an old song. Jesus is calling. You're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've wandered away. I can say this today may be a rededication moment, a refocus moment by declaring the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you've never made that declaration statement as the Lord is my shepherd. You can do that right in your seat, right in your heart. It's not a prayer. It's really a focus of saying, God, I repent of my sin. I'm a sinner. I just keep running into the miry ditch and getting stuck, that you keep coming to get me. I repent of that lifestyle and I turn and I give my life to you. Change, transform me. I believe Jesus came, died on a cross, rose again. You'll be saved. And that's the identity of making the Lord a shepherd. That's what Luke 15 is describing. That's what Psalm 23 is describing. That's what John 10 is describing. Are prone to wander, yet his grace is good. That goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, the good shepherd isn't just good for his provision, and it's good stuff. The good shepherd is good because he gave himself for you and I. That's the beauty and the goodness. Psalm 23. Can I pray for you this morning? God, we come to you this morning. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you. We honor you. God, thank you for taking me out of that ditch so many times. For cleaning me off. Hosing me down, God. Placing me on your shoulders. The imagery is just overwhelming to me, God, because I know as you place me on your shoulders, my mud, my stink, my sin, it's on your shoulders. I can't get that out of my head, God. It's overwhelming. Jesus placed us on his shoulders. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for all those provisional statements. But God, may we make a declarative statement this morning that you are our shepherd. God, if there's someone that has wandered far off, maybe they wandered into this room this morning or joined us online, right in this moment, God, I ask that you work right in their hearts. May your Holy Spirit convict and guide them and lead them to repentance. God, I'm thankful for your grace. I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for your love. God, I praise you. I honor you. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name.